before us. We now commit this service into your hands, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please be seated. And now for our sermonette, be given to us by Mr. Bill Conway.
Greetings to all of you, and happy Sabbath. Greetings to Susan. Nice to see you here today. It's been a long time since we've been in this hall. I can't remember the last time we met in here. Been a while. In our world today, brethren, we see lots of anger, hate, rage, godlessness, violence, evil, greed, covetousness, and anything else you could possibly want to add to the list. News is so depressing, it's not worth watching. It's almost not even worth reading. At least the U.S. news, anyway. It's almost like it is only evil continually. But I want to thank Mr. Kiesel for his opening prayer, because it leads right into my sermonette today. Let's forget about that today, shall we? Not Mr. Kiesel's prayer, but what I just mentioned. Let's focus on something else. Let's ask a different question today, and that question is, what makes you happy? What makes you truly and deeply happy? There's so many things that can go on this list, but I just want to mention a few today. Number one, the Sabbath. What difference does keeping the Sabbath make in our daily lives? In our weekly lives? How does it separate us from the world? I'd like you to think about something. Today, as I was preparing this sermon, I hadn't thought of it myself. Turn over to Mark 2, verse 27. Famous verse we all know. I want you to think about something that's in here. Mark 2, verse 27. Jesus Christ said to those in the house, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." If God took the time to create, set apart, and make the Sabbath for us, could we not indeed say that the Sabbath is a gift? If God made it for us, could we not say that it is a gift given to us by a Creator God who has our best interests at heart? And yet so many want to despise this gift. They've marked it return to sender, or they've taken it back and exchanged it for something better, or so they say. You've all seen the story of the movie of the spoiled little kid who doesn't like his Christmas presents. He said, "I wanted a Lamborghini, but instead I got this sweater. I don't want this sweater. I don't want this gift." When we say we don't want the gift, that means we place little value upon it. It becomes valueless. Do we enjoy and appreciate the gift that God has given it to us? When Friday night rolls around, does it truly gladden your heart? Does it lift our spirits? Sure does mine. It's a wonderful time. The scriptures tell us that God has given us a spirit of a sound mind. Do you ever thank God for the gift of sight? That you can actually see and discern things? How happy are we that God has given us a spirit of discernment, a spirit of clarity, and a spirit that allows us to place our focus in the right place, which is not about me. Hebrews calls it stirring up love and to good works. I had to laugh. I don't know if you've been following on Facebook. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources has been posting updates about Bruno the bear. Do you guys know about Bruno the bear? He came down from Wisconsin. He's been hanging out down in southern Illinois near Missouri. A couple weeks ago, they put up a post that said, "Bruno is on a mission that does not involve you." It's not all about us. What does Isaiah 58 tell us about the Sabbath? The very first thing it starts off with. It said, if you take your foot off of the Sabbath, if it's down here and you're trampling on it, what value does it have? The second part of that statement is, for my holy day. It's not our day. Mark 2 says it was given to us by God. And the third part of that statement says, and call the Sabbath a delight. How many kids do you know that are delighted to get a gift? Little kids, their little eyes light up. Oh, cool, I have a present. Especially feast presents. Kids love feast presents. See their little eyes, they're all happy. If you really want to see happy children, go to a feast site someplace that does animals up on the stage. And watch when they make the announcement at the end of the last day or whatever, youth day, that all the kids can come forward and claim a stuffed animal. They're happy. They delight in the gift. Proverbs 3, verse 13 to 14. Let's go over there. Proverbs 3, 13 to 14. Pick up another gift that God gives us that we can be grateful for. Proverbs 3, 13 to 14. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and happy is the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Where are wisdom and understanding today? Sadly, they've almost completely vanished. The world has gone nuts. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain more than fine gold. Wisdom and understanding are priceless gifts. For everything else, there's gold. Which leads to happiness. Right? Wrong. Notice the verse 17 and 18. Her ways are of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. How many people want to retain wisdom and understanding, true wisdom and understanding? How much happiness and joy does this gift of wisdom and understanding bring to us? Part of the way we come to know wisdom and understanding is through God's gift of the Sabbath, by being here, learning from the Word of God, by being instructed in the ways of righteousness. How long might it be until we hear again in our land, hurry, the Sabbath is almost here. Hurry, the Sabbath is coming. How much longer will it be? When you think about these things along these lines, brethren, you actually discover the secret of happiness. The secret of happiness is really not about physical things, is it? The things of God that produce life, happiness, joy, and peace are all spiritual, or we might say mental. In other words, happiness is really a state of mind, right? So let me ask you a question, and I know this is a bit of an exercise in semantics, but think about what I'm trying to ask in the question. The first question is, what makes you really happy? The second question is, should we ask it this way? What really makes you happy? What's the difference? What really makes you happy? Think about it. Recently, how many super rich people do you know that are extremely happy, that have stable home lives and a stable personality? How many lives, how many families have been destroyed because of the lust for money? It's a kind of a sad commentary on the human race, isn't it? This most important physical thing does not buy happiness. It can't even come close, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. Speaking of happiness, there is buried in the book of Isaiah an interesting little verse. Let's go to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 and verse 4 and 5. Read this interesting little verse. Think about this verse in terms of what Mr. Kiesel prayed in his opening prayer. 64 verse 4 and 5. For since the beginning of the world, man have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. How does God meet those who rejoice and do righteousness? How does God meet you? Through prayer? Through fasting? Through study? Through acceptance and delight of his wonderful gift of the Sabbath? John 14, 23 comes to mind. God comes and makes his home with us. God, please help me, for I am but a bug on this earth. Without God, we don't amount to a whole lot. When you sit back and consider many of the things that God has done for each of us, and you reflect on them, it goes to that question, what truly makes you happy? What brings joy and gladness to your heart? I'd like to leave you with one last little section of Scripture, and that is Psalm 144, verses 12 to 15. 144, verses 12 to 15. And think about these words as we read them. Breaking into the thought that our sons and daughters may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. What does sculptured in palace style mean? It means that your children are royalty. They're looked up to. They're respected. And they're admired. And when you go to the feast or someplace, people look at your kids and they go, these kids are so well behaved. They're different. Where did these kids come from? It comes from parents who have a sound mind, who train their children in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord, sculptured in palace style. What an interesting statement. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. That our oxen may be well laden. That there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no outcry in the streets. How appropriate is that for this time that we live in? No outcry in the streets. No spray paint, no statues, no thousands of people, just peace. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So, brethren, with God's gift of today, a most happy Sabbath to all of you. May your joy be full, for happy are these people whose God is the Lord.